On this episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, it's the one, the only, Jack Gervais. Jake Jack Gervais Gervais. He's made it back to the podcast. He is truly one of us, except for he is now the proud owner, or will be soon, of a Super Bowl ring. And we're going to talk about that and the rest of his life over the last year. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 296 of the podcast. And to be honest, man, this might be the last one because I don't know how this podcast is even happening. This is a moment that none of the three of us can actually really stomach. We green with envy, pretty shocked. Jake, Jack, Gervais, you won a Super Bowl, pal.
You betcha. Before we get into that, we got to get into my man Steve Gervais listens to the podcast every once in a while, and I heard some shade was being thrown at your boy a couple episodes ago.
Couple? We've been calling you Jack for fucking 2 months.
I know, but he said this. There was about a 10-minute rant. I was being called a sewer rat, a cockroach. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's a good
thing. Oh, yeah.
But if
we were shitting on you pretty good.
If I can't defend myself, you got to tone it back or have me on so I can defend myself at least. Jeez.
Here you are. Punch back.
You've heard the sewer rat comment from Coach Morgan, right?
Yeah, sewer rat. And then I heard the Wi-Fi got brought up too. Just all
No. But I mean, like, you can't kill a sewer rat.
You can't kill, won't die. That's what Parker Hesse always says.
Exactly. That's where Parker got it from.
Dude. Tell me you have better internet out there in LA. Tell me you're paying for, like, at least, you know, the average package, you know.
Everything's a little more expensive out here in LA, so it's not in a good way. I'm crashing at a buddy spot right now.
Oh my god.
Wait, so you won a Super Bowl and can't even afford an Airbnb?
No, I had a long story. I mean, are we jumping straight into it or what's
get into it?
The flow. No, we got, long story short, we got.
This is a conversation between four buddies, and we don't really like you that much, but welcome.
There's no agenda. Go where you want to go.
Mutual feelings besides Kev. I love Kev. But long story short, after the season, we had all that stuff. My wife and I, Haley and I, drove to Austin, Texas, because that's where we're moving. I flew back here to have surgery. I had surgery on Tuesday, and I'm crashing at a
bus. Dude, you never told us what you had surgery on.
Yeah.
I got a minor Lisfranc. I felt a pop in the first punt of the third quarter against Tampa. So I basically tore a ligament, had a partial bone break, and some pretty deep bone bruising that happened in that Tampa game.
Yo, and Frank, bone starts hiding. Yeah, now that makes sense.
Oh, my gosh.
Lisfranc.
Lisfranc.
It's named after a gymnast. What'd they do to fix it?
You would know. They put a little suture in there, realigned the ligament. It wasn't the serious Lisfranc, so it's only a couple month recovery, but just get some stuff realigned, fix that bone that was chipped off.
No plates. Played through it in the Super Bowl, eh?
Yeah, played through it in the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. It was not a good time, but it was worth it for sure.
Little Toradol action, or would they shoot you up with?
Man, anything and everything. Toradol, Tremadol, Tylenol, pain off.
Diana Ball, Trenbolone.
You name it. I was trying to get Toradol for practice. It was a long 2.5 weeks.
Fentanyl. Yeah. Just
talk about what's Super Bowl week like?
So ours is a little different because it was a home game. It was basically, we treated it just like a home game, which is nice. Got to sleep.
Dude, that's two Super Bowls in a row that the NFC Championship winning team was home field advantage in the Super Bowl and then won.
Yep, and I think we were the first time ever where we won the NFC Championship at home and the Super Bowl at home. If I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was – because Tampa had to go to New Orleans and beat the Saints last year.
And Tampa was the first time that they'd ever played at home in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but since Green Bay lost, we ended up having the Niners at home for the championship and took care of business there and the Super Bowl at home.
Man, I would have loved to see – I wanted to see the Pack play the Rams bad. I did.
I don't know. As soon as, like, the brackets came out, we knew that if we took care of business, there was a good chance San Fran was going to beat Dallas.
Yeah.
Just with how tough they are. And then they were either going to go to Green Bay and beat them, or they were going to go beat them up, one of the two. And obviously that block punt, the old lawn snapper, needed a little help from his PP there. That was a tough look for the specialist there on that play.
Dude, he got ran through.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, I actually know him. He was here during camp. And he was
snapping. Iowa State guy, right?
Iowa State guy, yeah. He was here during camp, and he good guy. He just needed a little help from his PP and his guard, and they left him high and dry, and it's just – it's a bad break.
Not really an athlete. Pissed down his leg.
Pissed down his leg.
I'm not gonna say, he's got more hair than Kluber, though, so he's got something going right.
And you know what? He snapped in more NFL games than me, but I don't know if that makes him any better. I'm willing to bet that you put me out there, I stick my leg in the ground, and I don't look like a pussy. You know? 5'10", but I'll stick a leg in the ground and make sure that we don't get something blocked, huh?
Mm. This is coming from the guy who had zero blocking responsibilities for his last 3 years at Iowa.
Zero. It was always on the weak guard, strong guard. You did nothing. You free release.
Yeah, and I was the first one down the field, fast as shit. you watched a movie for the first time today. That's shocking. I saw on your Pulp Fiction.
What'd you have any thoughts?
It was good. I think I need to go back and watch it again to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Did you understand the timeline?
There is no timeline. It's like a bunch of, as my movie critic friend pointed out to me, it's a bunch of like non-linear moments thrown together.
So it's the same story. It's just different parts of the story. And you see that if you got to watch it a couple times.
Yeah. So I need to go back because he was explaining it to me through his eyes, and he's like a movie critic, and he says it's like his favorite movie of all time. I like it. There's some all-time like one-liners by Samuel Jackson, and then the whole watch story about POW getting out of that and all that stuff. But it was good. I need to go back and rewatch it to, I think, appreciate it.
Kevin and I have a couple of real favorite scenes from that movie. A few of them. Good movie. I would call it. I'd put it up in my top five, probably.
Yeah. See, it's not there for me.
I don't know about top five, but it's. I really appreciate
it. I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too this morning.
Mm. That's a pretty fun movie.
Yeah. Is that what we're doing just to rehab through? Is just watching movies right now?
Yeah, we're on the Quentin Tarantino grind.
So what? The wife left you.
The wife
didn't want to support you in your time of need.
She did not leave me. We made a mutual decision. She is actually in Iowa City packing up our house right now, getting ready for the move. Instead of being out here and sitting on the couch all day, she's being productive, and I'm hopping around on one leg unsupervised, but I'll be all right.
And you've got no responsibilities right now. You're not doing shit.
No, just trying to figure out what's next. But, no, I'm going to start training and getting back in shape here probably next week. But apart from rehab and moving to Austin – We're free and just chilling.
So what you
tiny houses?
You drove from LA to Austin just to look at your house for the first time and flew back to LA.
Oh, we had to drop Finn off, dude. We had to get the dog to Austin. Mm-hmm. So right now my brother's watching him. We left Haley's car there. I flew back to LA for surgery. Haley flew home to Iowa to get packed up, and then I come back tomorrow. Listen, direct flight LAX to Des Moines.
Wow. Ooh, from
Allegiant Airlines into Des Moines, Iowa. So I'll be back in the great state of Iowa tomorrow about 11:15 in the morning.
That's not a short flight.
It's like 3:15, 3:20, but it'll be completely empty. So I'll get my whole – I should get a whole row, which would be nice with my foot and everything. But
you mean no one from LA wants to go to Iowa this time of year?
Nah. Thought about booking a PJ, but Blythe left me, so I can't do that anymore. I miss it.
Fuck this guy. Get him off the podcast. A PJ?
I am kidding.
He went from Davenport Assumption to private jets, man.
Hey, Super Bowl ring.
Still driving gold member or what?
Dude, gold members, we're moving on from gold member.
Wow.
You're moving on from gold member? Dude, what?
Only because.
Yeah, he's changed.
No, he's changed.
He's 100%. LA's changed him. He's bougie now. He's too good for gold member.
What are you going to drive? You got a brand new Bronco coming, don't you?
Gold member will always have a special place in my heart, but we're moving on because logistically, to build the tiny home empire in Austin, Texas, we need a truck that can haul and carry, and gold member just, she can't do that. So we're gonna not get rid of her, but we're gonna move on from her and make sure she's left in good hands.
I think the jury is still out on how much LA has changed you. We will continue to explore that through this episode.
All I know is he started wearing a headband and got rid of his car. So I'd say
he hasn't gotten a haircut in 6 months.
Probably. I'm trying to grow it out like you, Drake. I'm trying to grow the hair up.
Are you trying to
respect? I can appreciate that.
Well, you've got to wait. Have you seen Drake's hair recently?
I saw his Instagram post this morning. Looks like a madman that I would love to see on a jiu-jitsu mat.
I don't think that's true, but I'm sure he'll oblige you anytime.
Not right now, dude. My eye is so sore.
Oh, yeah. For anybody that's watching the YouTube version of this, by the way, we haven't mentioned it. It looks like Drake's just, I mean, legitimately, you can see like a black and white sort of like nighttime vision of a printer and his microphone sitting on the desk. Is because he got kicked in the face today. And I guess what? Now light hurts your eyes?
Dude, it's like the whole inside of my eye just feels bruised as hell. I don't know. I got kind of a migraine going on. Yeah, it's just not a great situation.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's do this.
Jake, if you're interested in getting to learn how to roll, I've heard jiu-jitsu is getting huge down in Austin.
No, I'm trying to find where Joe.
Austin is the jiu-jitsu capital of the world right now.
As soon as this foot heals up, I'm trying to find where Joe Rogan rolls and go meet up with my man Joe. But I'm for sure going to get into it at some point. Drake got me, gave me the itch last year after the season when I stopped in Arizona and rolled with him for the first time.
Pretty fun.
It's addicting. Like
Evan rolls now.
Bunch of former Hawks are into it. Uyghurs, Austin Kelly, all those dudes are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's addicting, like Kluve said. For me, it's the fact that it's something to compete against another person again. You know, mm-hmm. You can lift, you can do CrossFit, you're competing against yourself, and it's all right. But there's nothing like competing against another person directly.
Yeah,
100%.
That's true. Speaking of CrossFit, let's just talk about it real quick. Jake, do you still follow CrossFit at all?
Not as much as I used to.
Because we used to be deep. I want to bring and take you down a little bit, the rabbit hole, because you and I together, along with Dylan Martin, who I just talked to today, who is one of our former athletic trainers at Iowa, who was really good in the sport. We used to be so deep into it that like I would come over to old Arbury and we would watch the announcements.
Yeah, we'd have a Gaines bowl, a pint of Ben and Jerry's with some whole milk.
And some whole milk on top and act like it's a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
Yeah, we were back in those days. I still followed a little bit, not as much as I used to. Sad day that Frazier retired. I was a big Frazier fan.
Yeah.
But I check in every once in a while. I talk to Colton about it here and there, but nothing dude, too crazy.
Talk, bro, he's fit.
Yeah, Colton's real fit. He's dealing with some nagging injuries, but if he can ever get a chance to get healthy, he'd be dangerous.
Yeah, he's very unassuming too, because if you look at him, you're just like, oh, this is just some regular dude. Like he –
No, he's a freak.
No, dude, I just saw his Instagram post. He looks stacked right now.
Yeah, he did 75 hard.
That's true. That's true.
He's a big, what's that dude's name? Andy Frisella.
Yeah, Frisella.
He's a big Frisella fan.
Hard not to be. Guy's kind of a badass, and I'm pretty sure he owns First Form, that company.
Supplements,
but they also have like a massive training. Like they've got they're starting to get like First Form athletes, they've got apparel. I think they do it all. You should get sponsored by
them. I forgot to tell you, Jake, you're gonna have a real hard time getting in with Rogan because he made his own compound.
Did he really? In Austin?
Yeah, he built his own. Yeah, he's got his own jiu-jitsu gym inside his compound.
Invite only.
Does he not? He doesn't leave. He needs to get like
it's invite only. I remember him talking about it on the podcast.
Definitely not me by any means, but he needs to get like I've heard him say he's not a big football guy. He needs to get some like football players on his podcast to get outside of the mixed martial arts. He's had some wrestlers, like he's a dog, but he needs to open up his horizons to other athletes, hear their side of things.
Jake's like saying, "Hey man, I just won a Super Bowl. I live in Austin. I should be on the podcast."
Yeah.
No, I freaking wish.
Frazier was on the podcast.
I know, that was a good one. I listened to that.
Yeah.
Jake, what would you say? What would your insightful thoughts be on a 3-hour Rogan?
Man, I don't know. He gets too deep for me personally. It'd just be fun to just, and not even be on a podcast, just to like hang out with him. He seems like such a good dude.
He came to Des Moines last year, and I saw him.
It's a comedy show?
Yeah, in the well.
I also went to a Rogan show, and in very Joe Rogan fashion, I took an edible that was far too large and had quite the experience at the after show. So,
Drake, what does an edible that's far too large even look like for you? That's had to be like a whole dog bone.
It's got
to be.
Not just one brownie. It's a pan of brownies.
Oh, that's one of the better jokes Kevin's ever made.
Well, hey, are you going to hit now and then?
It was in the several hundred range.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, yeah, that's actually, when I went to the Rogan show, Hinchcliffe was better. Tony Hinchcliffe. Like Rogan,
you liked him better?
Oh, Hinchcliffe murdered the night we went and saw. Oh, my God.
I don't even know who that is. Who's
Hinchcliffe? Tony Hinchcliffe?
You don't know Tony Hinchcliffe?
Bro, he's funny.
Is he a comedian? I'll have to look him up.
He's an Austin guy.
Yeah.
I'll check him out.
He does Kill Tony in Austin. You can go to one of his live shows.
Yeah. I'll be there. That's what I'm so excited about, getting to Austin. There's so much stuff to do, like bars, music, food, trails. It's going to be awesome.
I'll talk about it with you after the podcast. You got to start getting some sponsors, taking advantage of that pro athlete fucking life. You need more endorsement deals. I'm going to be your agent.
It's be great.
You can definitely get endorsement deals just because you look exactly like a really good player.
Yeah. Like
why are you not his crash test dummy in all of like his stunt double in all his commercials? Tell Coop that he needs to get into some crazy commercials. They got him doing lunatic stunts, and then you'll just stunt double for him.
You wouldn't believe the amount of times I've been mistaken for Cooper Kupp in the last, like, all 3 years I've been here, but like this year specifically, because we both kind of had long hair earlier in the year. We had our beards grown out. Like, it got pretty insane.
How awesome was it just being Cooper Kupp?
Man, I go along with it.
Oh, all the time. I was just like, I never signed anything, but I'd
Coop,
like,
Coop. Hey,
I'd
be what's like, up,
yeah, Coop, what's up? But like, I'd be out there when I'm on the P squad for the majority of the year this year. I'd be out there running like wind sprints before the game, like doing my like, you know, conditioning just in case, hey, I get to play the next week, whatever.
Right.
And they'd be yelling Coop, but it's like, come on, guys. Like, Coop's not sprinting before the game, conditioning, doing push-ups and abs.
Right.
By the goalpost.
Like, how dumb are people? You wear a different number, bro. Like.
Yeah, but this is in, like, I'm in Rams gear. So I'm not, like, in my jersey or anything yet. I'm just, like, before game, I'm on the P squad. I'm, like, working out. But still, like, people should know, like, Coop's not out there conditioning.
So let's be real here, Gervas. A lot of people would probably mistake your sprints for Cooper's warm-ups.
That's true. There's some truth to that.
I mean, he's definitely a far superior. I mean, that dude is without a doubt a freak. Like, he's – what him and Matthew Stafford – and, you know, credit to O-line, everybody else, but – like what him and Stafford did this year, when I tell you they were the first two in the building every day from like camp, like at like 4:35 in the morning, just those two talking football, watching tape. I'm not exaggerating.
Seriously?
Yes, they did that. I listened to a clip the other day. I guess Coop, being the dude he is, like did the math. They spent like an extra like 600, 700 hours together, just those two outside of all of our team meetings, position meetings. Extra time those two spent together.
Oh my God.
I'm talking freaking grinders. Like first one in, last one out. Every time I got to the facility, both their cars are there.
That's a level of commitment that I don't have inside of me.
Well, that's why Coop was offensive player of the year, triple crown.
Dude, he won the triple crown.
Dude's a killer, man. He's a killer.
Isn't the only other person to ever do it Rice?
Megatron never do it?
I think the only person to ever do it is Jerry Rice, and it was between multiple seasons. And Coop did it in one season, a single season.
Derrick Henry just recently won the rushing triple crown, too. So we're seeing two legitimate Hall of Famers in their prime.
What's the rushing? Touchdowns, yards?
Yards, touchdowns. Yeah. There was three, I remember.
Yards per carry, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
So take a quick second to recognize AdCraft, the GOATs. The goats of merchandise to who are our people, right? They're part of the walk-on army. You guys remember when, you know, that whole Big E thing went down? He said Hawks by a million on Fox, and it went viral. I mean, just went all over the place. Well, we needed some flags, right? The people wanted some HBAM stuff. And guess who was there the entire time who actually hit me up before I hit him up, right? That's my guy at AdCraft. That's Colin. He's like, hey, we're going to need some flags. He knew it was coming. So they're already ahead of us when we're trying to do our merch. And as you guys have heard me talk about, when you guys want to create your own t-shirts, your own sweatshirts, whatever you guys need, it's hard to know what products should you choose, how much inventory should you order, how do you collect and then distribute orders and all this stuff. Just let AdCraft handle it, okay? If you need to get apparel to your employees, no problem. AdCraft's company web store program allows flexibility to fit your company's needs, including special features like password protection. No more creating complex spreadsheets to collect and submit orders from your employees. With AdCraft Company Store, you'll just send a store link to your employees to order, and AdCraft takes care of the rest. Hey, and they're great for high school sports, booster clubs, athletic club teams, companies, and much more. AdCraftWebStores.com, and they'll help you guys just like they helped us. www.AdCraftWebStores.com. So, Jake, I saw someone tagged me in this random-ass video of you and two teammates getting picked up by some random dude at the end of the parade. Tell me about this.
This is bad ball, man. This is not good. So Wednesday, Super Bowl Sunday, I'll just give you the whole flow. I'll give you the whole deal. So we can talk about the game after, but win the game. Family, you get two post-game passes. So Haley, my dad, got to come on the field. It was awesome. Really cool, really special moment.
How are you going to disrespect Sheila like that?
Sheila was understanding that. I would have loved to have Sheila down there, but I got to run over to the crowd and I talked to her and the rest of my family. But got to have your wife there. And then, you know, my dad's, you know, the GOAT, and it was always his dream to go to the Super Bowl, let alone like watch one I got to play in. So had to let Steve on there. But post-game celebration, locker room was nuts. Like, I've got videos I can show you guys. Like,
We saw him.
Yeah, everybody had cigar. I didn't know those were going to post, by the way. I thought that was just like going live. I thought it was just Instagram live. And then I ended up like posting to my thing. So I put them in like the archives or whatever.
Archives. This kid, get off my podcast.
Archives, whatever it's called.
Motherfucker,
my ears are bleeding right now from that.
Motherfucker won a Super Bowl, doesn't know how to pronounce archive.
Archives. Oh, Haley's gonna give me so much shit about that. That sucks. I always get that word screwed up.
How?
Anyways, we have the locker room's nuts, super fun. Post game party was awesome. We were there till like 4:30 in the morning. We kind of got robbed. I heard like Nelly and somebody else performed at the Bengals, and we had like Gunna and like some other band, but like they had like the cooler performers at the Bengals. And we had, yeah.
You want to know why? It's because of Joe Burr.
Yeah. Joe Shiesty.
Shiesty probably pulled those a little bit. Yeah.
Dude's a killer.
So it's funny because you were posting stories on either Instagram or Snapchat. I can't remember. And 2 hours behind, right? So I was waking up for, you know, my wife and I woke up to like start the day, and you were still posting stories. You were still awake. And I was like, holy shit, this guy's really living right now.
Yeah, we went to bed at like 4:30 or 5, and I was like up and moving at like 6:30. It was nuts. But the party was super fun. It was tough. We covered all day Monday. Tuesday, we had like our exit meetings and media stuff. And then Wednesday was a parade. So my buddy had called me on Tuesday, and Tuesday was like when I kind of found out I had to get surgery. And like he was like, hey, a big group of us going to Vegas. Like, would you want to come? And I'm like, no, I can't, man. Like, I got to get surgery. Don't know when it's going to be. Like, you guys go be great. Have fun. Well, of course, like on the bus ride down to the parade on Wednesday, get a little liquid courage. You know, I'm buzzing a little bit, a couple of drinks in, get talked into booking a flight to Vegas. So I literally on the bus ride to the parade, book my flight to Vegas. There ends up being like 20 of us going, but like four of us booked flights like last minute, like on the stage at the parade. So like the bigger group of like 12, 14 guys, they've got a Sprinter van taking them north up to Burbank. Well, we need to get to LAX. Parade ends at like 3. Our flight's at like 4:30. Can't catch an Uber. We're in like the streets of LA. Like, I'm talking like if we didn't just win like the Super Bowl, like it's not a safe area. Like,
why is that where they chose to end the parade at?
Because we ended at the Coliseum, which is
Okay.
It's down in that area. That and like sense. Couldn't get an Uber, couldn't go back on the bus because we need to get to LA. Like, we are literally hitchhiking like in the streets of LA trying to get a ride. And then that dude that posted that video, he's like, you guys really need a ride. And we ended up taking it, and he was super cool, hooked us up. Like, we each paid him. I think he told TMZ. I think he like sold the story to TMZ. I think he told him we paid him $1,000. We didn't pay him $1,000. It was a couple hundred bucks maybe, but
ain't no damn chance that Jack Gervais I know paid no goddamn thousand. No jihad.
You know, Jack, old Jack here was in the back.
Jack was the first one to whip out his wallet and pay the man. So don't you boys back off a little bit.
Really? I thought you were going to be the one that was like, yo, I got you on Venmo. If you can get him right now, I'll Venmo you later.
Nah, so it was a little sketchy, but we ended up getting to LAX. Dude was cool. Obviously sold the story or did something, because next day I'm getting texts from my family and friends that I was on TMZ with some of my teammates. But go to Vegas, and then Vegas is just a whole different. That was my first time.
That was your first time in Vegas.
That was your first time in Vegas.
First time in Vegas. I'd be happy if it was my last, boys.
Wow. No. Super Bowl champ after party. That's a pretty good way to spend your first and last.
Dude, they rolled out the red carpet. One of our teammates had a connection. Comp rooms, bottle service at the club. Dinner was crazy. It was.
Which clubs you guys hit up?
So we just stayed at the Wynn the whole time. The Wynn Hotel. It was
Great. Oh shit, what's the name of that club? It's last time.
Yeah, it's right in the hotel.
Yeah. That's a good one. Was Marshmallow playing?
No, I don't think so. But they like had like cut out Ram signs and bottles, and it was absurd.
How did wifey feel about this last minute trip to Vegas? Or
she was full go green light.
Wow.
Dude, he just won a Super Bowl. What do you mean, Kluver? Isn't your fucking boring 9-to-5. Oh, Lauren, can I go take a vacation? He just won the Super Bowl. So I'm going to Vegas.
You got to ride the high. She was all for it. She was a little stressed because we were getting like our leases up on like Saturday. So we had to get the apartment cleaned out. But no, she took care of business and let me. It was literally like a 12-hour trip. I landed the next day at like noon.
Man, holy shit.
All right. How's Haley like in LA? How's she adjusting out there?
She liked a lot more this year because like the COVID stuff was backed off a little bit. So she was able to like meet a lot more of the wives and girlfriends and fiancés. So they had like kind of a little group she hung out with and went to the games with and did like dinner parties and all that stuff. So she had a really good time. And I mean, we're only out here for the season, so she was ready to get back home after the season, as am I. But no, she had a good time.
What about our man Finley?
Our man Finn, he loves LA. He can go to the dog park every day. He's got friends out here. He's only the little bastard better know how much we like him, because he's the reason we got to drive back and forth. Otherwise, I'd be shipping the car instead of making these 26-hour drives.
Yikes. You talk about the end of that parade route, and you're like, oh, shit, we're in the – we're in a not so good part. Do you remember Jacksonville and me, you, and Dylan found a CrossFit gym across the water and then got stuck and were trying to make curfew early on in the 2014 bowl trip?
God, you got a great memory.
You're not leaving me out of this, Kluver.
Drake, you were with us?
Yes, dickhead.
We
rode back with your parents from the putt-putt.
Yeah, my dad. Do you guys remember where we were in Jacksonville?
No, I don't.
Oh, it wasn't good, boys. It wasn't good. I don't know.
You have a great memory. I don't remember that.
I don't have a great memory. I just remember it because it's related to CrossFit. So, crazy day in Vegas, and then or night in Vegas, and then you're back in LA, and it's like, what's the come down like? Like what? Like, does it all start to settle in? Like what?
Yeah, it's just like like in a sense recovering, but at the same time, it's like still setting in that like we actually like did that. Like we went and won the Super Bowl and got a chance to play in those big games, and it's a pretty wild ride. Like the last like week or so has been like a blur.
Oof, that's.
But it's almost like. I don't know, man. It was like, I don't want to say destiny, but like when we picked up Eric Weddle, like when I tell you this man Weddle, like changed our demeanor and like the energy, he was like the spark plug, like nobody knew we needed.
He changed the whole team.
This dude came in 750 days off the street, played like 20% of the snaps, 70% of the snaps, 100% of the snaps. This man had the green dot in the Super Bowl. He was calling our defense.
Oh, my God.
Two years out of retirement, led our team in tackles, played three quarters with a torn pec.
Yeah, I did see he was down in the first period or first quarter.
Dude, this dude is all time. When he first got signed back, he got signed back on Monday. Haley and I – because we got pretty close my rookie year. Haley and I had him over for dinner on, like, Thursday. And he was like – he's like, dude, I don't know. Like, it just seems like destiny. Like, my agent asked if I want to come back. And I said, like, you know, might as well. Like, who else? And his agent's like, who else could do this? And then you look at, like, the storybook ending, like, the way it worked out for him and our team and, like, the energy he brought. It's freaking wild to be a part of.
Now, talk about destiny now. Everyone's talking about how the Rams went all in on this year. How do you guys feel about the future of the LA Rams?
How's the destiny look for next year?
Hey, you saw AB, man. He said if everyone comes back, he's back. You see Les's shirt?
No, I haven't.
Our GM, he's got a shirt that says "Fuck them picks." he wore it at the parade.
That's a great shirt. That's a great shirt.
I honestly I've got no idea how it's gonna work out. I'm not even thinking about that. It's just somehow.
What is the situation? The team doesn't have any first round picks until like 2025 or 2026.
It's a while. I mean,
it's a hot minute, boys.
It's going to be a minute before we get a first rounder in here, but they'll find a way. I mean,
it's a good time to be one of the lower salary cap dudes on the team.
Right. I mean, I'm not in a bad spot. I don't know if I'll be here for sure, but the cheaper, the better for dudes like, guys like me.
So you're close to getting vested now, aren't you?
I've got two. I need one more. I'm two for three.
So you need three games in next year's season and you're good?
Yeah, man.
That's all you need, man.
I'm going to get three games and then retire next year.
All right. Speaking of this retiring bullshit, let's talk about December, November timeframe where I get a Snapchat from Jake Javash and he is fucking miserable. Like this dude hates his life right now. Talk about that. I had to talk this dude off the ledge.
Well, I'd like to go all the way back to when we had you on last year and we kind of talked about you bouncing on the P squad, bouncing off, like take us through the entire off season and where your head was at all the way through. You know, it's sort of been documented. I think you've said in a couple interviews how you've sort of brushed over like, hey, I thought about quitting in the middle of the season. So take us through the off season from last year through that moment.
Yeah, so shout out to my boy Kev, but last
big shout out to Kev. Sounds like you owe your Super Bowl to Kevin.
Yeah. It's all Kevin. Actually, I owe it from Kevin from sitting in Coach Parker's meeting asking what fucking Mustang was in 3x1. Let alone.
I don't know why, but it was you in particular. I always got annoyed by you asking questions, but I always answer.
Yeah, I understand. You helped me out. I appreciate it. All right. So, long story short, last offseason ended, signed a futures deal here.
And what does a futures deal mean?
It means absolutely nothing. It means as of now, you're on the 90-man camp roster.
Okay.
But they could cut you tomorrow. So, it's nothing's guaranteed, no money, no contract. You're just given a spot on the camp roster.
That makes no sense, but okay. All right.
Yeah.
So other teams can't go sign you.
Exactly. So you're locked in with the Rams, signed a deal with the intent to move to linebacker, fast forward to OTAs went well, like linebacker a lot. Camp was going really well. And actually started the first preseason game at linebacker. We sat out like three of our starters cause we don't play our dudes,
right?
But me and our second round linebacker draft pick started. Played super good in the first game. Second game had like two plays that didn't go well. Then Thursday before the last preseason game, we did like an inter-squad scrimmage, which was basically like our starters getting all the work.
Yeah.
And on special teams, got tied up with some dude, ended up tearing my oblique on Thursday. Fuck. Yeah, not fun. Tore that on Thursday. Decided, went back and forth whether or not I should play because I know like I'm a bubble guy, may make the team. I knew I wasn't going to make the team. I'm like fighting for a P squad spot right now.
Right, right.
So it's like, hey, do I go play with this and like show them like I'll do anything to make your freaking P squad?
And this is late August, basically.
This is late August, early September. It's the last preseason game in Denver. End up deciding to play. It was like the worst 3.5 hours of my life. Like I could barely breathe running down on kickoff. Didn't play great, but got through it.
You tell Josie to take it easy on you?
He wasn't even in pads. He was too scared to run into the real future 43. But I'm kidding. I heard
we've been talking about it, man. You've just
I know you've been talking about the 43 nonsense. I didn't get to pick my number. They signed it.
I don't know. That's hearsay. I'm gonna roll with the assumption that you picked that because you, in spite of Josie Jewell, but keep going.
But anyways, they cut me, send me home, basically say, get healthy and we'll maybe bring you back. We're debating whether or not we should file an injury grievance because they can't send you home if you're hurt.
Right.
And you got 25 days to sign that grievance or to file that grievance with the NFLPA, which basically means you're fighting for an injury settlement. And I was given the choice to either – on day 24, I was given the choice to come back to LA and sign as a P squad or to file that injury grievance and probably get 4 games of active money and accredited season. Decided to take the opportunity. So I came back and signed instead of getting the money and getting
head on yourself.
Wow.
Kid.
Let's go.
Gotta be great. So I ended up doing that. But in that time they had brought in another kid here to play linebacker. He's on the P squad. Then from like I was back here week 3, which was against Tampa. It was my first game back on the P squad. But like when I tell you, there was like 5 or 6 weeks where I was told, because this year you could elevate 2 guys from the P squad on Sunday.
Yeah,
you can get elevated twice a season. There was like multiple times where I was told like you're going to be up. I was taking reps on special teams during the week. My family was looking at flights, and then something. Like 5 or 6 different times, one way or another, things didn't end up happening. Whether it was one time we were like, it was a money issue. Like we had to trade some dude because we didn't have enough money to elevate guys from the P squad. Another time it was like a one receiver got hurt. So we had to bring another guy up. So it was just like the ups and downs of like, hey, you're going to be playing. You're not going to be playing.
1 week there was too many onions in the team meals. Yeah, they couldn't have you there, and like
food allergies kicked in, and then Buddy fell through my ceiling at a party, all that nonsense.
Right.
And then like week 12, and I love this dude, he's a great dude. One of our linebackers got hurt, went to IR. I thought there was a decent chance I was gonna get an opportunity. Well, they ended up going to claim some other guy off Kansas City's practice squad to our active roster.
So for 12 weeks, you hung out on the P squad.
Oh, I was on the P squad the whole year until the playoffs.
Okay. I wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, so I was on the P squad. I got elevated against San Fran, which is the week before our bye week. So that would have been week 9, maybe. Then about week 12, this other guy gets hurt. They sign this guy. And then basically I'm at a point where, like, the kid that was on the P squad originally, that was on the P squad when I was home on the couch.
Yep.
He got brought up to the active roster. They claimed this other guy from Kansas City. And I was just at the point where I was like, what am I doing here? Like, you know, I played through injury in the preseason. Thought I played well. They ended up bringing this other guy in. And then I'm here busting my ass on the practice squad. And they go and get this other guy off of practice squad and put him on the active roster. So, like, I very seriously considered, like, calling my – I talked to my agent about it and very seriously considered, like, quitting. Like, I was like – it's not worth it. Like, I'm coming home in a bad mood every day. It's weighing on me mentally. It's just, I don't know if it's worth the P squad check I'm getting every week and the mental warfare I'm kind of battling with. And I very seriously considered walking away.
All right. I'm very curious. And I don't want this to come across as me questioning that, because obviously I have no idea what mentally is the big key there, because if you're not happy, right, and you're coming home every day, even though and this is where I'm going with this, like, how many days a week is a P squad guy, what's the responsibility like there?
You're there like 5 days a week. It's unbelievable money for what you're doing, for
right.
Sure,
right? So this is what I'm getting at, like, you're making whatever, I don't need to know the number.
It's public knowledge.
Okay. After taxes. Yep. Whatever. You're making that much a week. You know, you're playing football. A lot of guys, and you'll hear it from, you know,
what Kevin said. You're going to say exactly what Kevin said.
A lot of guys, 8, 9, I mean, they'll go 7, 8, 9 years deep and just be okay with, hey, this is my profession. I'm an NFL player, but inside of that world, I'm on the practice squad level, and that's what I'm going to do for 6, 7, 8. I don't know if there's many practice squad guys who are going 8, 9 years deep, but hey, for 4, 5, 6 years, I'll accept that practice squad is my role. And I'm not saying you're accepting that, but, like, it's not like you were off the rock. Like, they were still keeping you on P squad. You're still making the check. You personally, Jake Gervais, are not okay with that. And if it wasn't going to go any further, you were kind of like, I'd rather go do something else.
Yeah. In hindsight, it's like, and Kevin said this when we had talked about it. He's like, dude, you would kill 3 years ago to be on the practice squad in the NFL, which is true. But at the same time, just like anything, whether it's my work, anybody else's profession, there's ups and there's downs.
Of course.
Like, I was in a deep down where, like,
yep.
take money out of it. It's not worth it, because I was in – my mindset was they've kind of shown their cards, and they had reasons to do whatever they did by, you know, bringing these other guys in, and maybe they didn't think I could perform at the level they needed to win games or whatever it was. And I was just at the point where it's like, you know what? Like, I've been cut four or five times, sent home. For some reason, they keep bringing me back, and I just don't know if it's quite worth it anymore.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I had awesome friends and family. My parents talked me off the ledge, but – you know, just like anything, shit got pretty dark there for a while. It was like, dude, I'm not in a good spot. Seems like I can't catch a break. There was that week we had the COVID outbreak in late November. We had the huge outbreak. Originally, I had tested negative 2 days in a row. I was going to be up. I was our third linebacker and our third safety. I went from B squad to backing up both positions and starting off all four special teams. And then I popped positive, and I hadn't been around anybody. It's like, dude, I can't catch a freaking break. Like that saying, when it rains, it pours. Like, it was pouring. And trust me, I can tell all your listeners and you guys, my shitty day in the NFL is nothing compared to what other people are going through.
No, but I do want to – I understand where you're at with that mindset, though, because I know you. I mean, this is the fucking washed-up walk-ons. It's the walk-on mentality, right? You're not in this spot because of – pussyfooting around and putting in a half-ass effort every day. So I know that the time that you are spending on the P squad is an absolute all-out war every time you step into that facility to not only put forth a physical effort, but as a P squad guy, and you can maybe talk about this, it's like, hey, how can I build relationships? How can I do every little thing? You know, as I walk around this building, I'm mentally consciously thinking about keeping my head held high. Always got a smile on my face. Just doing the little shit that might help you stay there, right? Because you're on that fence. And when you go and do that shit day in, day out, and you don't see any, you know, you don't get the result, you don't get the validation, very easily I could see how you go home after exhausted at the end of a day and you're like, fuck, man, I'm doing this for nothing.
Like, yeah, 100%. It's like, I know you guys have touched on it and it's becoming so much more common in sports. It's like the mental warfare athletes go through and people go through, and like mental illness is at such a higher rate.
Yep.
And like, I don't want to say I have a mental illness, but there'd be days where it's just like, damn, man, like I don't want to go into work today.
You were depressed. Yeah. You were depressed.
I don't want to get out of bed. And it's like, it sucks, but it's becoming more common and people are talking about it. And I'm not afraid to talk about that. You know, there are some dark days, and without my family and my wife, there's a very good chance I would have walked away. And then I would have been sitting on the couch February 13th, watching the Rams win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Oof.
And my agent texted me in the locker room, could you imagine if you would have walked away from this while we're celebrating? Like, I had FaceTimed him.
Oof.
And then we hang up the FaceTime. I still got my phone right away. Could you imagine if you would have walked away from this? It's like, thank God I did it.
What do you talk about a dark place?
Such an insane roller coaster in just a matter of like 10 weeks of real life or 12 weeks of real life.
Yeah. And like, you guys experienced it at Iowa, right? It's like, you guys are busting your ass, working out every day, doing everything you can, paying attention to those little things. And then somebody else comes in and they automatically jump you on the depth chart, right? There's like no worse feeling where it's, I'm doing everything I possibly can to find a way to help the team or carve out a role, and they're going to choose somebody else. And like, those other dudes, they're my friends. We're in the linebacker meetings together. They're good dudes.
Yeah.
But it still hurts. It doesn't make it any easier. And I just got to that point where it was like, I was really struggling. Do I want to push through this, or do I want to keep doing this and be a shitty husband at home, or be a bad friend, or be a bad teammate and a negative guy in the room? Or should I do what's best and walk away? And not that was the best answer, because I ended up, I found a way to kind of, you know what, it's out of my control. You're in the NFL, you're living, you would have killed for this spot 3 years ago. Like, you know, dark days are going to get better at some point.
You found a little bit of closure. Yeah.
You got to find a way to push through that stuff.
I can't believe that therapist daddy Kev stepped in and was actually a vital part of that.
I wouldn't say it was a vital part. It was a Snapchat.
I love Kev. I think it was a Snapchat that basically said, like, get your head out of your ass, you're in the NFL.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I had also had a rough day that day. I think I spent like 14 hours in the OR and Jake snapping me about how much he hates his life. And I didn't want to hear about it.
And you got a quick fuck you from Kevin. Like, dude,
probably it was well deserved too.
Wow. That's too. I mean, I don't know if we can get much better content than that, boys. I mean, that's a fucking story and a half. Here's where I'll go with this. And not to be Debbie Downer, but like, you're fucking still, it's not, you're grinding. You're still grinding.
Not shit's changed, boys. It's still a walk on. I have no idea what's, I think I'm an exclusive rights free agent, whatever that means.
Holy shit.
I don't even know what that means. My agent will kind of let me know, but no, nothing has changed in terms of like, I will and continue to be a bubble guy.
Yeah.
Year in and year out. I'm fighting for roster spot 49 to 53 and then somewhere on that P squad mix.
You just got to find yourself on the field for three separate games this year and then a whole lot of stress off the body.
Well, yeah, the cool thing was this year was like, so I got elevated week 9 against San Fran, we lost. Got elevated week 17 against San Fran, we lost. But then with some injuries that happened, I ended up getting signed to the active roster to start the playoffs. It's like during the playoffs is the first time in my career where I've been able to like establish a routine and like play consistent games and put good stuff on tape. So like I finally got like a little taste of what it's like to like actually play. Like, hey, you're not playing week two and then week 14. It's like I got to play in four games in a row. Yeah, I was a little banged up, but I still was able to go out there on special teams and compete, put some good stuff on tape. So it was fun.
And it was in a it was in the fucking playoffs, man.
Like, yeah,
that's
what was the lead up to the Super Bowl like, dude? Like the whole week, the whole 2 weeks.
Dude, so that's why we got lucky. Since we were at home, it was a normal – obviously for our bigger name guys, they had all the media stuff and obligations.
Yeah.
But for me and, like, most of the roster, it was like a normal
– Don't try and tell me life just felt normal when you knew you were about to play in the Super Bowl.
Dude, I'll tell you what. I was watching a whole lot of punt protection, boys, because Cincinnati had a good little punt rush that had your boy nervous there at the PP spot.
43 was sweating a little bit, huh?
40. That was the one special team that you get nervous about when you're in that kick side A gap and you got to protect, you know, 12 year vet Johnny Hecker from getting.
Ooh,
all right. All right. I got, speaking of our man, Johnny Hecker, I've got a grievance to file. I need you to pass it along. So I'm a gambling man. I put in a little wager on your little.
I'm already getting ahead of this.
I forgot about this, Kev.
No comment. Did you
total points in the first half? Under 24.5 hit. Rams money line hit. Spread first half. Rams minus 2.5 hit. Tyler Boyd over 38.5 receiving yards hit. Matthew Stafford over 2.5 touching pass touchdowns hit.
You had a good day.
Total points by the LA Rams in the first half over 13.5. Johnny Hecker drops the snap on an extra point that he's done a million, billion times before.
I was with Johnny Hecker on Monday night, both hungover, and he was getting Venmo requests on his phone from gamblers.
Oh, my God.
Asking for thousands of dollars.
Well, he owes me a grand, dude.
That's unbelievably cool.
So send me his Venmo because I'm going to send him another request here.
that was Kevin. It was Kevin who was sending him requests.
Yeah, he was sitting there like, dude, I'm getting Venmo requests on my phone. Like, these people are nuts.
What was interesting about that, too, is like the snap wasn't bad. He caught it and put it down, and the bottom edge of the ball slipped. It was almost like it was too that's a rare – the way that he messed that up is rare, and I would love to talk to him.
He's the best punter in the world, babe. Super Bowl champ.
He is an elite at kicking a football, and now he is a Super Bowl. Yeah, he is a Super Bowl champ, and you're a Super Bowl champ, man. You're gonna get a ring that's about the size of a baseball. You know that, right?
Oh, I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome.
Are you selling that ring to expand the tiny house empire?
That's gonna buy me like 3 tiny homes when I sell that thing on eBay.
All right, I want to move to the tiny homes and we can talk about other shit. I do want to go back real quick, all the way back to you said in that first, because I really get curious about the psychology of this. During the preseason, you start that first preseason game, you feel good about it. The second preseason game, you said there was a couple reps that didn't go your way.
Yeah.
After a game like that, and it's in the preseason, that's obviously a clear time where you're trying to – you're trying to be locked in.
Yeah.
After the game, are those two plays what you're thinking about, knowing that that's like, fuck, dude, man?
I was ready to get cut. Like
immediately?
Yeah, so this year they did the cut. They cut 5 guys after the first preseason game, 5 guys after the second one, and then the whole roster after the third one. After those 2 plays in the second preseason game, I was like ready to get like sent home.
Wow.
Because – and that's like – one of my – that's where I'm, like, mentally weak. I think I'm so scarred from Phil Parker benching me at Iowa that I literally have – like, if I make one mistake, it's like I'm cut. Like, I'm done. Like, my senior year at Iowa, right, I messed up my ankle against Purdue, like, pretty bad. And I was, like, under the impression where if I missed a Monday jog-through practice – I wasn't going to play like the rest of the season. Like Geno Stone was going to come take my spot and I was never going to play defense for the Hawks again. And like, I think he scarred me because now I'm in like the mental mode where if it's like, I make one mistake, it's like, it's been a hell of a ride, boys.
Dude, you know that they make things called therapists for that, right?
I need to see one because it's either me getting benched or it's when I backed out of the end zone in the spring game. It's one of those things that really screwed me up from my time with Phil Parker.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the funniest moments, I think, in my whole time at Iowa is Phil Parker in front of the entire defense pointing out that Jake backpedaled out of the end zone.
He asked Lomax, he said, Lomax, what do you notice about this? Lomax is like, you got 10 guys in the field, coach.
Oh, my God.
And then he just stops, stares at the screen for like 5 seconds, turns around his whole body, stares at Jake for 5 seconds without saying anything.
That's tough. That's a tough day in the film room.
Joe had nightmares about it.
That was early in your career too. That would have been 14 or 15 spring ball.
It's like my first practice ever.
It would have been like 15 spring ball, right?
Yeah, I didn't practice all camp my first year because my shoulder was like the next spring ball. So it was spring ball 2015, my first time in shoulder pads.
Ridiculous. Wow.
And now you got a Super Bowl ring. Oh, fucking life's crazy.
Have you talked to Phil?
Nah, I haven't talked to Phil. I talked to a couple other ones. Phil's more of a – he's more of a come see him in person and talk for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Rather than like the simple text or checkup. Like he doesn't really check in on you or like do any of that. Like LeVar, Seth, KF, my man KF wished me good luck. That was like all-time moment for me.
Oh, shit. You got a little text from the man?
I got a pregame and a postgame text from – the goat.
Wow.
That's goated.
I screenshotted them both.
That should just show right there how important that is. Yep. Is that you just won the Super Bowl and you screenshotted text from your coach.
Have I ever told you a story about my grandma Wolf?
I don't think so.
We're up at a cabin in I think it was Wisconsin, Minnesota. It's like my whole mom's side, the Wolf side of my family.
Right.
And I'm a few beers deep and like, you know, we're talking football and somehow KF comes up and little did I know my grandma's like up asleep or she's supposed to be asleep, but she's like upstairs in her room, but her like sliding door's open so she can hear everything we're saying. And like one of my cousins is like, Jake, you got to save KF or Grandma Wolf from a bullet. Who are you saving? I think my first response is like, how old's Grandma Wolf right now? Like, what are we talking
about? Oh, my God.
That's just – and then all of a sudden you hear from, like, the rapper, what'd you say down there?
Oh, my goodness.
So that's just the amount of respect and love I have for Kirk Ferentz.
Oh yeah. Man, that's so funny.
That is
Grandma Wolf, you've lived a good life. We still need KF around for a couple decades.
I was in like my sophomore year. I needed KF, but no, Grandma Wolf's still kicking and doing strong, so they're both killing it.
I mean, KF's got an extension for another 7 years. We need him around, huh?
No, I'm going to have – that's going to be wild. Hopefully I'll be coaching by the time he's still there.
You're gonna coach, huh?
No, I'm just kidding. I'll never coach past high school special teams.
High school specialty.
So you're saying you want to show up on Thursday practices once a week?
Once a week. Well, combat drill, 2-gat, we'll be good to go.
Combat drill at a high school practice on a Thursday. Walkthrough. I don't care if we don't have the pads on. We're running it. Let's go. Set up the cones. Holy shit. So what's this? You're moving to Austin because your brother lives there?
Yeah, so I've always wanted to get out of Iowa, and I've finally convinced Haley. Just we'll eventually end up back in Iowa, but we grew up in the Quad Cities, went to school at Iowa, so we've always kind of wanted a little change of scenery. My brother's been in Austin for about 4 years, so we're gonna
Shout out Sam for getting engaged.
Yeah, big brother got engaged too.
Nice.
That was actually wild. They got engaged on Saturday, flew out to the Super Bowl Sunday morning.
Wow. And
came to the game on Sunday, so they had a hell of a weekend.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so, but we're going to – Haley and I are going to meet up with him in Austin. We bought a house in December there, and we're got some work done, and we'll move in hopefully end of next week is the plan. I won't be doing much moving with this foot, but right. Haley, you know.
And you've mentioned it several times. What is the tiny house empire?
Oh yeah. It's Sam built a tiny home in his backyard and rents on an Airbnb, and it's been doing really well. So basically we're going to build a bunch of them. We're going to partner with people who want to make a little passive income, build a, we'll rent their land, a piece of their land. We'll build and finance a tiny home and split the rental income with the landowners. But Austin's an awesome city. If you guys have never been, it's you'll have a spot to come visit the boys.
I'll be down there in July if you're around that time of year.
Should be around. I think my boy Ben Neiman's gonna come visit actually like the first week we get like moved in. He's gonna come down like a week early to stay, and then his brother's guys, Nick's got his bachelor party.
Ben head ass Neiman.
Speaking of Nick Neiman, that dude was their special teams Pro Bowl nominee. What a savage.
Bro, he was the number one special teams player in the league, a rookie.
Iowa just breeds savage backs in the NFL.
Absolutely locked him up in the preseason on special teams. Don't even get me started.
Dude, I think there's multiple people on this podcast that today still think that they could bully Nick Neiman.
I will not put my name in that hat. I know for a fact I can't.
After training with him, he is like freaky athletic. It's like,
wow. Oh, freaky athletic.
Yeah. I don't know where they're.
He's the
I
better just can't athlete. Take the
kid seriously. He always just has that goofy ass smile on his face.
Well, shit, grin, the Neiman smile.
Exactly. Better, more athletic Neiman. Better, more athletic Neiman. We need to get Nick on the podcast, although he's not really a talker. I mean,
no, you could get him to open up.
Yeah.
You could find a
way. So the tiny house thing is like legit. You're going to turn that into a legit like LLC, that thing, and start a business.
Oh, that's like that's plan B, because we had talked about like going into last.
Let me throw a little coin at you.
Huh?
Drake,
let me throw a little coin at you.
Well, let's be great, because my plan is I'm going to start getting my real estate license in the next couple of weeks, I think, because the idea I had was we partner up with some of the people I've gotten the chance to know in the NFL. They buy a house. We buy and build the tiny home. We got two Airbnbs on one property and just kill two birds with one stone. And Gervas Ventures is the property management company that we'll have running those. So we've got things lined up. But it all started.
Yeah, let me throw a little coin at you.
I'll take a little coin, Drake. It all started because, like I told you guys, I'm a bubble guy, right? So, like, I wanted to – Haley and I, like, don't want to keep sitting around and be like, oh, let's see if you make a team. Like, right. We need a plan B. We need something to fall on. And the Austin, Texas tiny home empire is the move.
Wow. Incredible.
Exciting stuff. We're going to go be great.
So what? Okay. Back to the, why
don't
you?
All right. I mean, I know this is like your thing, but like, have you like trademarked Let's Be Great yet? Cause
right. Yeah.
You've said it no less than 30 times on this podcast.
Like why are there not Gervas t-shirts out there with a badass wolf on the front that say let's be great?
No, that's an Eric Weddle thing. So just being back around him, it's like, I've been re-brainwashed by him. Every morning I'd be sitting there getting treatment at like 6:30, and he'd waddle in there with his walker and be like, let's be great. Like 6:30 in the morning with uncontainable energy for a 60-year-old football player.
You just disrespected him horribly in that sentence.
No, I'm just kidding. The best part was his first day back, because he was on our P squad, right? Like, we just elevated him every game. He was like, who would have ever thought I would be on the practice squad and you would have weaseled your way onto the active roster?
Wow, that's hilarious.
Tough times.
Yeah, like you've heard in our other podcasts, we really do hate to give you credit, but that's your life, man. Your life the last few years has been pretty unique, some would say.
Know that we can go forward with this podcast, like I said in the beginning, because we just gave Jack Gervas way too much credit. And now that you're a Super Bowl champ, life just doesn't seem right. So I don't know if with this can – I don't know, man. How does this continue?
It's just like Coach Parker always said, anytime Kev or I got a pick, blind squirrel finds a nut.
That's
it's all about getting lucky, man. Right place, right time.
You just gotta try and get as many nuts as you can.
Man. And how about the whole Jack Travis thing by Hawkeye Football doing me dirty?
Hilarious. We've been running with that, dude.
Yeah, fuck.
Hilarious.
Tough time. Like
You know what the funny part is yeah, you had to try to, you know, swing your dick around and say, oh, my name's Jake and I'm on the active roster now. And then then we couldn't let that slide. Now your name's Jack. It has to be Jack.
Yeah, now it's Jack because you tried to one up the graphic. And
I was just having a little fun on social media, just like you guys do. I'm just trying to stay away from the cancel culture. It's so dangerous these days. Nobody's safe.
I'm still potentially going to name this episode Jack Travis. I mean, I'll be honest. It's still an option for me in my mind.
That's okay. Just take out the old archives thing. Make sure you edit
that. Oh, fuck no.
There's no chance that's coming out.
Edit that out for you, boy.
Episode one with Gervas was the onions. Now it's the archives. And actually, that's funny.
How is Wash Up Walk-Ons doing? Give me your spiel. How many followers are you guys at? What's the average listener? You guys just raking in the cash or what?
I have not at all. Kluwer's ready to shut these numbers. I'm pretty sure he's embezzling from the business.
I'll give you a quick rundown.
Drake said we're ready to shut it down.
Yeah, Drake is at any point ready to stop podcasting, never get on here again. He does not care about the brand means very little to him. The loyalty of the Patreon followers, the consistency of the show. He's ready to shut this bitch down at any point.
There's a lot of other walk-ons out there
Kevin shows up actually a lot of recently. He has probably a slightly better rate of attendance to this podcast than I had to Swahili while we were at Iowa. And he provides probably the best insight, but you know, he's either here or not here.
Smart guy.
I am both the least valuable on the podcast and the one who likes to talk the most. I run everything behind the scenes. Kevin and Drake see none of the financials. I embezzle all the money, use it to buy fitness equipment for my garage. And I've basically just been trying to keep that front going for going on 4 years now. So,
and literally everything he just said is completely true.
Yeah,
he didn't feed you any bullshit right there.
So that's just what it is, man. For anybody listening, like, thanks for the bars and plates and I haven't bought a squat stand yet. I'm still using the wooden Home Depot cement in the buckets, but I eventually will because the Patreon money will keep flowing to my account. And I appreciate you guys. I'm kidding. We got to I don't know if you saw this, Gervas, but we got to donate $17,000 to UI Children's at Christmas.
Go be great. Let's go.
And here's a little secret. This year is going to be way better.
Yeah, should be a lot bigger. For those listening to this podcast, you can be part of that donation by purchasing the merchandise that we sell. We just restocked on hawksbymillion.com or the washupwalkons.com. If you want to hit up the Patreon and get an extra episode from Drake and I each week, and a bunch of other perks.
That Patreon episode is the only reason I'm still around.
Yeah, and half of your subscription there also goes to the Children's Hospital. So that's sort of the driving factor behind this. And I'll be honest, the stability of this show is far less stable than most fans who listen to it would like to know.
Hey, Gervas, you have more stability in your future NFL contract than this podcast has on any week to week basis.
Freaking right. No chance.
Yeah, no, that's 100%.
Walk on army strong.
It is strong. It is strong.
But the leaders are not.
The leaders are weak and just they have a lot of things going on. I will say this: we've got a new walk on shirt coming out. It's very similar to Kevin's shirt. The two tone there. It's black with a dark gray letters. It just says walk on the front, and on the back it says everything earned. And we will get you one of those for sure. I
need one of those. And then I'm definitely going to hit you guys up when I get a we are having Rally for Reed football camp number 2 this summer.
Yeah, promote that.
So don't have a date picked out quite yet, but we're going to be doing that again this summer in honor of Reed and raising money for his foundation. So I'll definitely hit you guys up to give us a quick plug whenever I get that date figured out and some more your details.
100%.
But we're definitely not cool enough to go be coaches
again. No, we're going to need everybody on deck this year. So don't you worry. You'll be getting a text message inviting you to come to Davenport for the day.
Yeah, definitely come on, and we'll do an episode promoting that exclusively. As far as now until then, what's the plan, man? What's off-season training? You're going to find a place in Austin and just be great or what?
Yeah, I think I've got a physical therapist lined up there to help out with my foot. Get that right. Should be good to go. And
the old Anne Frank, huh?
Yeah.
How about Russia invading Ukraine today, right?
It's 2022, man. It's wild.
Rest in peace to my people, man.
Wait, what?
You got people over there, Drake?
You're Ukrainian?
The Ukraine is where my blood comes from.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
I don't know, man.
Holy shit. Well, anyway, that's probably another podcast, but yeah, you got a PT, do you have a spot to train?
Yeah. So I've been recommended a couple gyms. I'm going to go check them out when I get there. I think I found one I like, but I'm going to be getting a little Nick DeMarco programming sent my way. Knock out his programming. Smart man. Best in the business.
Put a little CrossFit in there, huh?
He's such a savage. No, he'll get me right. Hopefully, with his programming, find a spot to train, try to start getting my real estate license, and then football. I mean, OTAs are in like what feels like 2 weeks. Like it's wild. It's like middle April, so it's gonna be a quick little turnaround. But
you get a quick little 8 week heavy cycle, and then you're back on the field.
Yeah, not even that. It's gonna be by the time I get settled in Austin, it's gonna be like 4.5 weeks and I'll be back out wherever.
Which is crazy because 4.5 weeks of training is like literally nothing,
man. Can't do anything.
No, it's like what do we do at Iowa? It's what do we start every off season with?
It's 8 weeks before spring ball.
I know, but what was the program we always
GPP.
Yeah, well, GPP and like eccentric pause stuff. That's all you can do.
Well,
build a base.
But like in the NFL, we just talked about this on a previous episode. Like you're not, I mean, you are probably, but a lot of guys aren't trying to like make gains. They're trying to maintain, you know?
Yeah, I would say that's true. And like even though we're back here for OTAs, like you really don't need a peak again until August. So that's like, you know, 6-7 months away. So you've got time. It's just crazy. Like if you make a playoff run, like how fast it really like.
Oh yeah. You're in a
like Ben Neiman hasn't had a normal offseason for his whole career. He's played in the AFC Championship 4 straight years.
God, you know, and just
poor guy.
What a sad sack of shit he must feel like, you know, for that. Obviously, we could talk a long time.
Let's keep it going, guys. I got nothing to do. I'm just out here in LA by myself.
Well,
what's next on the movie agenda?
I think I'm gonna finish Mayor of Kingstown. You guys see that?
That looks really good.
Yeah, that does look good.
TV show, I like it a lot. It's with that dude Hawkeye from
Jeremy Renner.
Have you watched Yellowstone at all?
Yeah, finished Yellowstone, caught up on 1883.
How about Blacklist, Javas?
No, that's on my to-do list. Steve Javas.
Dude, Blacklist is one that you could binge watch with before you get bored.
Yeah, Blacklist. I still got to watch The Wire.
Billions. You watch Billions?
I haven't watched Billions.
Billions.
Stranger Things?
That's not. Is that coming out? That's not out yet.
I couldn't get into Stranger Things. I watched a couple episodes and just,
Yeah, it's not really your thing.
The Upside Down?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, all-time great show.
Have you watched the new season, Kev?
I'm halfway through it right now.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm grinding through The Office right now for the first time.
Really?
All time. So funny.
Really? I think I've noticed that people that didn't watch it back when it was like out and stuff and like just go back and rewatch it because there's just memes of it all over the place, don't like it. So
absolutely think it is so funny.
I've never watched it straight through. I've only caught episodes that are just like on TV.
I watch it before bed and it just puts me in a good mood going into bed. It's all time.
Kevin's recommendation for a bedtime show would be Grey's Anatomy. Used to watch that a lot.
Jake watched Grey's Anatomy.
I'm a Grey's fan.
Oh,
I went through Friends. Friends is a good one before bed.
How about Dexter?
Nope. Couldn't get into it.
You don't like the guy killing people?
Nah, he's a little too much for me before bed for sure, but.
All right. Well,
that's soft, dude. That's soft. Really soft.
Hey, boys. It's been a hell of a time. Just do me a favor and cut out the old archives and we'll be good to post this and all that good stuff.
Yeah, fuck yourself. And Drake is probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes away from falling asleep. And Kevin probably wants to go decompress however he does that. I'm not going to speculate. Episode 296. We're close to 300 here. We appreciate you guys listening. We hope you enjoyed Jack Gervais. You know, like we said, this podcast, I mean, this could be the end. Maybe not. Probably not. We'll see. If another episode appears, hey, congrats.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.